All right. Well, like I said earlier, good morning. Welcome to Ledge Rock. Boy, and good morning to all that are joining us online. I know with, new COVID cases happening around the country that we have more folks staying home and joining us online. So good morning to you here in person, and good morning to all that are joining us online, both now, right now, live, and in the future, this coming week. We have a surprising number of folks that that join us after Sunday morning. But I'm glad that you're here with me today in this warm place, looking out at the snow coming down. It was fun. Of course, we're working on the new house. Thank you. Some of you have stopped by and come by to see what's happening. And so thank you for that. Caleb has a new friend that lives kind of catty corner behind us, and they were doing their best to build a snow fort this week. I mean, they took brooms and raked up little piles, and they were. And then Caleb says, "Dad, is it going to warm up at all? We can't lose any snow from our snow fort." And I said, "Well, buddy, yeah, it's going to warm up yesterday, but then we got more coming, and so they'll be elated to work on their new snow fort with this little bit of snow that we are getting finally." Some of you might say, and I know, I think Bob thanked the Lord for the protection of our deer hunters so far. Hopefully, people can get out one last chance and maybe try to bag that elusive buck. I like hunting in the snow. That's good. So much better visibility. Things like that. Looking out the window, seeing the snow, a little cooler temperature this morning. Looks like tomorrow is going to be even cooler. We're staring down the barrel of winter. Looks like fall is kind of winding down, and winter is here. And Chris upstairs, Ellerbrook, he says these are the dark months. He refers to winter here in the Northland. The dark months are upon us. We've lost the daylight savings, and now it just seems like the sun is always setting and barely ever rises. Entering the dark months, cold is knocking at the door. Seems as though if you are adventurous enough to turn on the news, there's nothing but bad news at the turn, at every turn. Dark months, cold, bad news. Boy, we heat with propane, and it looks like propane prices have doubled already, maybe going to go even higher. Fuel prices are definitely on the rise. I've heard $7 for a package of raspberries at the new grocery store. Inflation is definitely upon us. I know with the dark months and the cold, some struggle with depression. Difficult times with all the cold and the lack of daylight. Sometimes with bad news and darkness and cold, despair can seem to overwhelm some of us. And here it is, the week of Thanksgiving, a few days, and we're called to be thankful. Really, can we be thankful in a day when it's cold and dark and depressing and things cost way more than a short time ago? Can we be thankful no matter what we face in life? And the answer is a resounding yes, we can. We can always be thankful. I love that last song about singing all of our lives about the goodness of God. And I've heard this week from several of you how good our God is in answering prayers and quick recoveries. We do have a God that is very good. And today we're going to learn about just how great and just how good our God is from the book of 1 Peter. Find the book of 1 Peter. It's near the very back. If you go to the very end, you'll find your concordance and start going toward the front, and you'll go through Revelation and Jude and John, three books of John, and then into 2 and finally 1 Peter. We're going to be in the last chapter of 1 Peter, which is the 5th chapter, and pick up in verse 6. That's where we'll be at here today. Quickly, The book of 1 Peter is a very neat and interesting book. Those of you that have been able to enjoy the series The Chosen, you've gotten a glimpse at the life of Peter. Some of it very scriptural, some of it with some liberties taken, but I believe from what I've seen, a very accurate portrayal of a guy that was just a passionate guy. Sometimes he spoke a little sooner than he should have. His mouth got him in a little bit of trouble, and sometimes his actions even got Peter in some trouble. But the deal with Peter is God used him just as he was in a huge way. And he wrote this letter to the church, just to people, believers, reminding them a lot about who the Lord is, who they are. He's wrapping up this letter in this conclusion with some extremely powerful words, some influential words that should make a difference in our lives. I think they've made a difference in the church throughout the ages. Coming from the Apostle Peter, it's very interesting. So again, today, 1 Peter, the first letter from Peter's 5th chapter, beginning in verse 6. Let me read these couple verses to you. God's word says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the power that is contained within it. We thank you that you have revealed yourself and your characteristics to us through your word, and that no matter what we face, you are ever good and great. And Lord, I thank you for this message that you have given to me and laid on my heart. And I pray that you'll take it and these rich truths, speak them through me this morning boldly and clearly. And Lord, I ask you to truly open up each of our hearts and minds to better understand who you are, what you've done, how you are available to us, and how it is that we can then connect to you and serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church said, amen. So the idea behind today's message is that anyone that is a follower of Jesus, a disciple, can be thankful in life no matter the obstacles, no matter the darkness or difficulties or cold or whatever it is that has you down, the bad news, everywhere, no matter what, we can always be thankful. We can be thankful if we pay attention to a couple things that are so clearly spelled out in this passage. Now, sometimes I like to look at the passage in reverse, start at the end and go backwards to see then where it begins and what happens from that. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to look at the end of verse 7 and start there, starting with the end, going backwards. It says, because he, speaking about God, because he cares about you. Now, as a pastor, I get the privilege of speaking with a lot of people all throughout the week, a lot of you, even some others throughout our community, even some in different places in the country by the telephone or whatever. I get to talk with lots and lots of people. And I'll say this, and I am not generalizing Ledgerock. This is people from all churches, from all walks of life, from all over the country. I am always surprised at just the degree of hurt out there in people's lives. Many of us are guilty of coming into church and smiling, and how are you this morning? And great, I'm wonderful, thank you, how are you? When really deep down, there's some pain, there's some struggles or difficulty, or there's some worry or fear that is a part of your lives. Again, not just you. Throughout all of my ministry, I am always surprised. I guess I have this sort of optimistic approach, and I think that everyone has really got it together. Maybe I'm the only one that has that little bit of struggle and that little bit of worry or doubt or whatever that I think I've got hidden. And I'm perpetually surprised at just to hear how much pain there really is out there amongst all of us, the problems that we have in our lives. Some of us have families that have been dysfunctional for generations, and I have bragged to some of you how proud I am of where you've come from and where you're at today in this spiritual walk with Jesus, coming from such difficult upbringings and different issues and struggles. I'm always surprised, and maybe I shouldn't be any longer, but I'm surprised just how sometimes our lives aren't quite so perfect, a little too busy, a little too cluttered, a little too chaotic, and it affects us. And the tough reality of this life that we live here right now is that we are in a fallen world. God didn't design the pain and problems that we face. God designed perfection. But when sin entered, it broke God's perfection, and now we see the repercussions of sin all around us. The pain and problems and pandemics we face are a result of a fallen world, this darkness all around us. We talked about spiritual darkness on Halloween a few weeks ago. The bottom line is that some of you in here this morning, some that are joining us online, some that I have spoken with very recently are hurting and scared, and everyone just wants someone to listen to them. Everyone just wants a real and genuine relationship, someone to care about them. There's a quote that I often say that says, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And boy, is that true today, maybe more true today than ever before. Our vision here at Ledge Rock is simply building relationships. Couple of reasons for that very simple vision statement. One, it's something that we as a church body are really good at. Very welcoming, very warm, very relational. And it's also something that the world is desperate for. Someone to care. Someone to listen. Someone to build a real and authentic relationship with. Remember, people don't care what you know about Jesus until they know that you care about them. Now, that is an absolute rock-solid reality. People are looking for relationships. People are looking for someone to care. That's true. That's a reality. The next reality is that if you build all your hope, all your relationships, everything on people, someday you will be disappointed. People, we're fallible. We fail. We break down. We mess up. If you put your hope in people, whether it's a president, a governor, a mayor, some system, if you put all your hope in people, you will be disappointed and let down at some point. That is another reality. There's another reality that we have a God that is so good and so faithful. And the Bible speaks very clearly of God's love for us. The most famous verse of all, John 3:16, speaks of God's love, proving His love and giving us Jesus. That if we will simply believe in Him, put our trust in Him, we will never perish but have everlasting life. Reality is the world is broken. The reality is that we're hungry for anyone that will listen and care. The reality is if we build our hope on people, we will be disappointed. Another reality is that God loves us, and that's good. It's very good news. But you know what? It goes even further, and there's an additional reality, and that is that God not only loves us, but He also cares about us. The Scripture says, because He cares about you. I know sometimes in my life I can be guilty of realizing God loves me. Yeah, we teach our little kids. They're learning that downstairs right now. God loves us. God loves all the little children. But I want you to also not leave here today without realizing and remembering that God cares about you as well. During life's trials and tests and tribulations, during life's pain and problems and pandemics, even during persecution, I want you to never forget to realize that God cares about you. That's the end of verse 7. The beginning of verse 7 tells us to cast our cares upon Him. These dark days, this cold, this bad news, this pain and problems, all the different difficulties, the dysfunction in our lives, those things that burden us and weigh us down, the Scripture says, cast those cares upon our God because God cares about us. That is remarkable. Not only does God love us, He cares about us and He wants us to share our burdens with Him. What does it look like to cast our cares upon Him? I love to fly fish with the fly rod, long rod, heavy line, very light lure, the opposite of geared tackle fishing. Geared tackle, you throw a heavy lure with light line. Fly fishing, you take this heavy line, light lure, and the line does the casting. When done correctly, a fly cast is a beautiful work of art. You go back and you wait for the line to unfurl. It loads the rod and then you cast back forward and make a good stop. The line goes forward. It makes a beautiful presentation of a fly right to a waiting, hungry smallmouth bass. I like that illustration of the fly cast because that's what I think of when I cast my cares before this loving and caring God. I cast them delicately and precisely and beautifully at this great Ancient of Days, at His majestic feet. He already knows what's on my heart, so lay them forward at His feet. What's it like to cast our cares? It's about a full-on 24/7 relationship with a risen Savior. For you and I to cast these burdens and cares before this God that cares about us is a lifetime of prayer. It is a daily engagement with the Lord. And that happens in so many ways. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, and we've talked about that a little bit. That doesn't mean on your knees with your eyes closed all the time. It means being engaged with our God. And let me tell you, all of life tries to distract us from that. It's up to each of us to carve out that time to truly be connected to and engaged with God. And the moment one of these fears or cares or concerns come up, just give it over to God. Trust in Him. Allow Him to work those things out for you. You don't have to struggle through it. It's about trust. It's about faith. And it's about letting God do it in His timing, not in our own. That's the difficulty. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience and self-control. It's hard. But let God give up and give in. As one of my sayings, give up and give in and just simply let God live in relationship with this caring Creator. Cast those cares before Him and let Him do it for you. That's the reality that we face. Several realities that I hit and touched on there. The next thing is the result. What's the result of this life of living with a caring Creator and casting our cares before Him? Well, the end of verse 6. It says that God may exalt you in due time. Imagine that. God will exalt us in due time. As I said, we live in a broken world, a messed up world. It always surprises me just how messed up the world is and how dysfunctional so many things are. Man, is the world messed up. We're seeing it before our very eyes right now. People all over this world are trying to be exalted. They're trying to exalt themselves, get their glory, and get their fame. And today with modern technology and social media, it's all about getting clicks, and getting views, and getting likes, and getting thumbs up, and getting comments. It's how many people are following you, and now people are judging others by the amount of followers that they have. We're seeing people desiring to be exalted in record numbers in ways that we've never seen before. Some folks are literally trying to step on other people to climb to the top, trying to be better and to get their own glory. It seems as though greed and pride and selfishness, dishonesty, and distrust have become normal and acceptable. It seems as though no matter what someone does, no one will hold them accountable, and it's all just simply let to go. Too many people, even some believers, born-again believers, are trying to store up treasures here on earth, where we know the scripture teaches that rust and moths will destroy them. The world is messed up, and people are trying to get their own glory at anyone else's cost and expense. Jesus taught a very different message, a radically different message than what the world says. Jesus said that if you want to be exalted here on this earth, you will be humbled later. However, if you humble yourself here on this earth, you will then be exalted later. Verse 5, the one before the one that we started in verse 6, verse 5 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." In the book of Job, Job's such an interesting story, isn't it? If you've read Job, hard to read, hard to follow along. It acts like a play. But if you go to the back of the book of Job, the end, Job, if you know the story of him, he went through so many different trials and tribulations, not least of which was his own wife saying, just curse God and die. Losing his children, his wealth, all of his property, all of his worldly possessions, and even his good friends counseling him to just simply confess his sin and repent. And Job's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But in the end, Job's faithfulness, his humility before God, God honored that and blessed Job in huge and abundant ways. He gained back more wealth, more children, everything better than he had ever had before, because Job was ever faithful. He was humble and submissive to this good God that not only loves us, but also cares about us. You and I, when we're engaged in darkness, whether it's in the winter or even in the summer, when we're engaged in bad news and inflation and trying times, we can never be thankful, because God not only cares about us, but at the right time, He will exalt us. He will lift us up. Those that truly submit and surrender and even suffer for His sake. We know that the scripture teaches that all believers will ultimately be glorified with Jesus, will get new bodies, will be made right again, and all of that will happen at the end times. But also God will exalt all true, genuine believers in His way, in His timing, even right here on this earth, even right now when we go through difficult times, because God is good and faithful and loving and caring. That's the reality, and then the result. So what's our response? What are you and I supposed to do when we face this reality that yes, God loves us, but maybe even better, as great, is that God also cares about us? His church, us, the body, we're to care for each other, knowing that we will, as humans will, eventually let each other down. But if we will just trust in God, we can cast our cares to Him, and He will never, ever let us down. And that at the right time, He will even exalt those of us that are right with Him, submissive and surrendered. What's our response? What do we do with all that good news that we've just talked about it? Well, we know that the Bible, that Scripture is absolutely unchanging. The Bible, I'm often say, is all or nothing. It is true or it is absolutely a storybook. And I'm here to tell you, it is absolutely true. Every word of it, it's all or nothing. We don't pick and choose. We take it all in its context, understanding what was going on at the time. But it's absolutely true. It's unchanging. But the catch is, through Scripture, all of the stuff that we've talked about so far this morning, it's not automatic. This God that cares, this God that wants us to come to Him, this God that will exalt us, the catch to all that good news is, it's not automatic. Many people wish that it was automatic. In fact, I think some think maybe that it is automatic, but the truth is, there's a response. There's a response that each of us, every human being on earth, has to come to a point where we decide, my way or God's way? What is my response? What is this act that we have to do? Because we have to do something to engage with this God that is so caring and loving. What is that? What is that response? What is that act? Well, the beginning of verse 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. We are called to engage with this loving, caring God, to do it with humility, in a humble way. Humble ourselves. Now, most people, honest to goodness, we would all probably agree that's difficult for us. Humility is a difficult human response here in the flesh. Pride is a struggle for most of us. We're taught from when we're kids that we are great and we're capable of anything that we want to do. We all struggle with pride. It's the root of every sin. It's the beginning of the fall from heaven to mankind. It goes back to pride, choosing ourselves over God and His perfection. Pride and humility are at war with each other. Pride goes against everything that we're taught. And the Scripture says, humble yourselves. We're taught God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. How do we do it? How do we be more humble? Be a disciple. Follow after Jesus. How do we live with humility? Live like Jesus. Be a follower. That's what it means to be a disciple, following after Jesus, because Jesus modeled humility for us. Imagine this, God, the Son, in the glory of heaven, up there with all the angels, all majesty, all power in His hands, left that glory behind. And He came down to earth to be God, the man, and was born in a lowly place, in a stable, without any grandeur. And He lived a perfect and sinless life with all power at His disposal. And He still willingly went to the cross to die a brutal death, to spill His blood and give His life for us. He was humble and obedient, even to the point of death. And the Scripture teaches that because of Jesus' humility, that now He has been exalted above everything. And that the name that Jesus has been given because of His humility is the name that is above every name. That's why we always pray in Jesus' name. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, that will glorify the Father because of Jesus' humility. How do we live more humble lives? We look to Jesus in every situation in life. Follow after Jesus. Model our lives like Jesus. Remove ourselves from the equation. When we do that, we're instantly humbled. We put others' needs ahead of our own. Removing ourselves from the equation. The reality is that if you are born again, what you want really doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Because to be born again, you've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, and it's what He wants, not what we want anymore. If you're surrendered to Jesus, to Him and to His will, that's all that matters. Him and His will is all that matters. The clearer we see this glorious, majestic King of all kings, the more we engage in Him through His word, through prayer, through worship, like what we're engaged in now, the more we engage in that, the more we see this Alpha and Omega, my favorite name again, the Ancient of Days, seated on His throne. The clearer we see Him, the more accurate and humble opinion we have of our own selves. God is loving, but He also has a mighty hand, and He is worthy of all that we have. He's worthy of all that we possess. He's worthy of our love, from our strength and soul and mind, from every part of our being. And here's the bottom line: humility must mark disciples' lives. It must mark our lives. When we choose to follow Jesus, He does a miraculous, supernatural, spiritual change in our hearts. He changes us instantaneously at the moment of salvation, and then He continues to change us to be more like Jesus throughout the rest of our earthly lives. He changes our hearts where humility is possible. Pride is removed, and we can be humble, to be exalted, to live a life casting our cares before this God that cares about us. When we are bombarded with bad news, when we are bombarded with death and darkness and difficulties all around us, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful on days like Thanksgiving, when it seems like everything around us is at worst, or at best, uncertain, and at worst, truly chaotic. It's hard to be thankful. What we can do is read this passage of Scripture. We can remember this passage of Scripture. We can realize, own this passage of Scripture that reads simply, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on Him, because He cares about you." Pray with me. Father, thank You for being a God that not only loves us, but that also cares about us. Lord, we praise You and worship You and thank You that You do want a relationship with us. In fact, You've created us to have relationship with You. And Father, I pray that each of us, after hearing Your word and spending time together in Your word, that each of us will trust You in a deeper level, that we will truly give over these cares to You, that You will then just exalt us during these difficult times, and we can love You deeper because You care so much about us. Lord, we love You and we thank You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.